Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Questions are Creative Acts of Intelligence by Frances Kingdom Ward. Today, we're going to be answering listeners' questions today. So our first question comes from Mark, and he says, do you guys ever feel you know what you're doing, or does it feel like you're always trying things and praying one of them works? Well, Mark, good question.
I do a lot of praying. How about you guys?
No. It's like, no, it's... are you guys doing the artist way, a process, or do we know what we're doing, or do we just paint? And I know you do a lot of research.
Yeah, Stephanie. I do a bunch of research with anything art business related. I like to kind of figure out, well, understand what works for other people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's kind of like a recipe, you know.
Yeah, works for you.
Yeah. You know, you take the recipe and I like olives, so I'm going to throw a bunch of olives in there, you know. But you do it the way they tell you to first before you start, mm-hmm. you know, making it yours. So, yeah, I guess that's my process, as I kind of start with something that works and then tweak it to make it mine.
Okay. So you do
and pray.
The process. Yeah. And both. Yeah. What about you, Julie? Do you have like...
So I do some research, not as deep as Stephanie. She's a winner on the research, but...
Overthinker.
Well, I do that too.
Yeah.
And then I overthink it for a while before I decide if I'm going to go down this path or that path. And then I outline it in some way, shape, or form. It's either this is the goal and these are all the different tasks that associate with that goal, or this is the steps to doing it.
She project plans that bitch.
Yes, I do.
I was going to say, for me, because I'm new in this, I think that I just pray and hope it works, because I'm, you know, growing and learning as a new artist. But
you do a lot of research, too. I mean, you took my Etsy class before you ever even started your Etsy shop. And now you're selling.
Right.
You do research.
I mean, I do. But as far as like artwork.
Okay.
Now, artwork.
As far as my artwork, I do what I love.
Yeah.
So, and Stephanie, you're my teacher, and I do your stuff, your
classes. You follow the techniques, but you have your own style. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm finding it more and more, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's fun. I'm kind of a little bit of both. I do my research, I take classes, I do education, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And then I just pray it works. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of both for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when it comes to my artwork, I end up doing a lot of research. I'm just mm-hmm. thinking recently, like I finished a birds and heart mirror image Scandinavian kind of piece.
Awesome.
I thought you were going to say it was ugly.
No, it's awesome.
And, you know, but I did a lot of research because I had a picture in mind of what I wanted. And then I found my reference image because I was just going to do it as a piece for myself and literally copy somebody else's work just as a in my sketchbook sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. As a tester.
Right. As a test to see if I like doing this style of art or not.
Hmm. That's a good idea.
And it ended up looking nothing like the reference image whatsoever, and really became my own. And I really fell in love with it. And so now I'm working on another piece that will involve flamingos, hopefully. And, but I'm doing a lot of research with it, mm-hmm. you know, trying to figure it out. And so I'm finding that as I'm trying to do more pattern work and larger pieces, I'm doing more research. But I also feel like I've kind of found my style already. Finally, after years of playing with art, I finally feel like I'm in my zone of what my style is.
So I hope we answered your question, Mark. A little bit of everything.
Yeah. I don't think there's a right or wrong.
So Josie asked us, do you guys frame your artwork?
I used to. But then I found out that a lot of people, they just take my art, and then when I framed it, they would take it and then replace the frame. So I'm like, okay, well, I just wasted money. And because it's framing is very personal.
Yeah, it is very personal. And I don't frame. I have some pieces for sale with frames that I'd like them to stay in those frames, because the frames kind of go with the image. And
yeah, that makes sense.
They're really like, it makes it a whole piece.
It finishes it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, I typically don't frame my work.
Yeah, and as you guys can tell, we're in my home studio. I don't frame anything.
Well, I know one of the guys in our group, he doesn't like to frame stuff, because whenever he does the art shows, they get dinged.
Yes. Yeah. And that's true, too. Because I have a lot of ding frames.
Yeah.
Because of my photography work and composite work, I framed all that. Oh,
And in our old studio, they fall off the wall.
Right.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
If somebody closed the door just right, they would come off.
That wall would shake and they would fall.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So the answer is no.
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 I'd say no. Not anymore. Too many problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Jane asked, what is your most important artistic tool? Is there something you can't live without in your studios?
My brain.
Well, you can't live without that. I know.
Exactly.
I don't think that's what she was looking for, though. No. Most artistic tool.
For me, it would be my Microsoft Surface. And it doesn't matter if it's Surface Studio or the Surface Pro, because even with that, I can still create art, but I can manipulate my art to go on to products and to sell it. Without that, I couldn't do all that and do the marketing piece from a business perspective. Now, if you're asking from what tool can I not live without from an artistic perspective?
Artistic. Let's do artistic.
Then it would be probably these watercolors I recently fell in love with. Mm. I absolutely love them.
Hmm.
Don't ask me to pronounce the name. Senelier.
If you become a sponsor, we'll learn to speak your name.
Yeah, I know. They're made in France, of course, so they're hard to find. But Dickblick has them.
Shout out to Dickblick. Just going to let you know, we've got a pretty good following.
Yeah.
What's an artistic tool that you can't?
Tool that I cannot live without.
In your studio.
In my studio. I love my easel.
That's a nice one. We've talked about
that before. My easel. Good. You know, another little thing that I was just thinking about that was really, really beneficial. They make those pads that, I don't know what they're called, but they lay on the floor and they're meant for like restaurants. Mm-hmm. They're extra thick little pads so you can stand for a very long time. Yes,
They use them in retail and they're, I can't remember what they're called, but they're like standing cushion pads for standing. Like, they're really good on your back.
I have like a 6 foot long one that goes under my easel and out so that I can back up and move around.
Nice.
That thing's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really nice.
Something you wouldn't expect, but it's.
But it helps your lower back tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And then your computer for your business.
Yes. My computer comes everywhere with me.
Yeah.
But what about you, Rachel?
I was trying to think. For me, business-wise, it would be computer. And I'm getting my iPad this week, by the way.
Ooh, that took a long time to get here.
Yes, it did.
What was it, like 4 weeks?
Yes.
Good gravy. Wow.
Took a while, but...
So chips.
It is. But anyway, and then I'm trying to think in my studio, I think I really love the gesso boards.
Oh, yeah. Love the gesso boards.
And they come in everything. I mean, I've done some stuff. These, like my Star Wars stuff, they're not on gesso board, but I don't care. I still love them.
Oh, really?
Well, the two bottom ones are, I think.
Hmm.
But... BB-8 and CP-3O, I think. I think BB-8's the only one that's on a board.
Hmm.
And the middle ones are on boards. Okay, I take that back. But anyway, just the boards.
Yeah, they take
ampersand.
Little space, too. Like to stack them and stuff, yeah.
And they look good without the frames, because we were talking about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
I like those with also those floater frames.
I love the floater frames with those. They're so nice.
Yes.
Very clean looking.
Yeah. Modern. I love those.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I've added something else to my list.
You're welcome. Okay, so I've got a question from Bethany. Bethany asks, what gets you into the most arguments about your art and why?
Good grief. Bethany is getting awfully personal.
Most arguments about your
art. So is that with yourself or with someone else?
Well, we had the discussion, all three of us, just last week about the emails.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Email frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How frequently and all that.
And not that that was heated, but it was, and it wasn't an argument. It was like.
It was a very
lively discussion.
Passionate discussion.
Well, because we didn't, I mean, there were five of us and there were five different answers.
Right. And so then that just got each one of us frustrated, I think, because nobody was on the same page about it.
Yeah. Right.
But I think she's talking about like artwork. And I actually know yours, Stephanie.
What's mine? Because I'm drawing a blank. My middle finger. She just flicked me off.
I think that has caused arguments and discussions for you. It's really stirred the pot.
Yeah. Well, that art piece definitely stirred the pot. And I know the art pricing calculators have stirred a lot of pots.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't expect that.
Yeah. What's funny is, it's not funny, haha, but funny kind of, I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
that's interesting.
So I got a Facebook ad that's, you know, talking about the art pricing calculator and, you know, just grab the art pricing calculator, various prices. Anyway, you know, a lot of people are posting on there. There's no standard processing for art pricing. And I'm like, yeah, I totally agree. There's not right now, but you really should check this out. Right. People are very close-minded about the idea of potentially changing anything.
Yeah.
And so that leads, and I'm not out to change anybody's mind, really. That's never going to happen, I don't think.
No, it's just another way to look at it, because once people realize there is no logic behind pricing for the online retail artist, let's call it.
Yeah, there's no standard.
No. I mean, there's a standard if you're going to be in a gallery to a certain degree, but there's not a standard if you're just like an online retail type of artist doing art shows and stuff. And I think that's where, so I can see where the arguments are coming with that, I guess.
I can definitely see where the arguments are coming from too, but I wish, you know.
I wish that wasn't happening though. I wish people would actually look at it before they state that.
I know. That's the aggravating part.
That's what surprises
me.
You
know that they haven't even looked at it.
Oh, I know. One of the guys even posted, I mean, he went off and I went and looked
really?
At his. Yeah, I went and looked at his page because, you know, you can click on the profile and most people don't have the privacy settings set. So I was able to go look at his art. And I'm like, yeah, there's probably a reason why you're not selling. And I'm not trying to judge on this.
Yes, you are. But
if you want, so I didn't talk about that at all. All I did was talk about like, here's the art pricing calculator and here's the purpose behind it. And that, you know, I stayed above board. But yeah, that thing's really sparked some stuff. It kept me awake last night, even thinking about
it.
Yeah, you and I had this conversation before. Yeah. Like, I was hesitant to release this thing because I knew I would get backlash. And
yeah, but I'm surprised it was so quick.
Oh, yeah. People are very, very quick about their opinions.
Yeah, especially on social media.
Oh, yeah, well.
Because they think they're hiding behind a curtain and they're not. They're not not Mr. Wizard from Wizard of Oz. They are, you know, unless they've blanked out their profile picture and, you know, set all their privacy settings correctly, you know, they can be found. And why people have to judge before looking at something, I think that's the biggest mistake is...
Oh, that's a good
look
point.
At it before you judge it. If I know for a fact you haven't looked at it, I'm not going to waste my time on that thought.
And I could go even deeper about, like, you know, how this is kind of playing out, because I am noticing a pattern. You know, I was talking to you guys about the statistics.
So these are old school, old artists who are common.
Old white men.
Yeah.
I am 100% serious on that. And that's 100% of the right of the time. So far.
I'm not surprised by that.
No, and you mentioned that. You discussed this. You're like, oh, just these people are going to have an issue with it.
Yeah.
And it's been...
It's coming true.
It's so... It, yeah. I don't like it, but that's the argument. Well, I don't like to argue, but I will stand behind my product because it's logical.
It's very logical, and it makes sense.
On your Facebook page, because we might go comment on that.
Well, I'm about to pull.
You can remove it.
Yeah, well, I'm about to pull the Facebook ad down because I am increasing my pricing on the art pricing calculator, so that because of some of these people that are, you know, doing the freebie, the fly by night freebie thing, and taking advantage of me and my kindness, I'm not doing that anymore.
No.
So you're going to pay.
Yeah. And sorry. It's great information. So it's worth every penny.
Yeah. And it's not going to be a lot. It's like $5 bucks. But I'm finding it's these free, free.
It's the trolls. It's
the white men. And I've got a white husband. I'm white. I love him to death. Great people. But I just can't believe this is a pattern. It's really pissing me off.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't mean to be like.
Well, no, but I mean, this is the argument that I'm getting right now.
And you have the statistics to back it up based on what you're seeing. And
I just can't believe it's that solid. Sorry.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Just coming from working in commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunately, it's real when it is women coming up with these new ideas.
So and I new thought
process.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that would be a factor, honestly.
Because it's 2021.
Well, right? That, but also when you think about most of the groups that you're in as artists are female.
Right.
Most of the artists that you're interacting with are female. It's rare that you're interacting on a daily or community basis with a white male. But for in their perspective, in the older generations, and I may piss some people off here too, but I don't mean to, but it's the truth. In those older generations, sorry, that's my water bottle. Those women were the hobbyists, not the sellers. Mm-hmm. And men were the creators and the moneymakers with the art.
The gallery owners.
Mm-hmm. And now, as time has gone on in the last 20 plus years, more women are in this field and more women are the buyers. More women are the sellers. More women are the curators. More women are getting out of it being a hobby and making it a job. So we are invading on their territory.
I just never thought even of it if like they're
70 some years old or 60 some years old, getting all pissy about a pricing calculator that they haven't even looked at.
And then I was giving away for free.
Exactly.
It's like, don't use it then if you don't agree with it.
I know. Why make it an argument?
Move on with your life.
Thank you.
Like, if you don't believe in it, so what? Move on. It doesn't matter. We're all entitled to our own opinion and our own way of doing things. That's called free will.
Right. Well, in our last little podcast, we were talking about negativity. And this was the thing that I just stayed on my head all night. And I meant to say in that podcast that I wish I would have gone out and maybe even printed that comment and burned that comment because it stayed with me all night.
I still can.
I was going to say, you need to do that when you get home.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
Because that's just, and video yourself. Video yourself burning
Instagram,
it.
Instagram, baby.
Yep. You got it. I want to see that.
That is a great idea.
I want you to hold it up and go, here's what this guy said. Show it.
Uh-huh. Not his name.
Yeah.
Don't show his name.
Yeah, he didn't need
it. You don't want to do that because
he doesn't need a name.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll mark it out.
Redact show.
Redact. That's a good word. I do too. It's redacted. Mark it out, show it, let people read that comment and just go, I really don't agree with this.
I'm giving this away for free.
And as a woman, I feel like he's objectifying me and my intellect.
And my thoughts.
And my thoughts, which are correct, by the way.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm allowed to have them.
Well, exactly. You're allowed to have them. And
Well, I wonder. Which
I just don't understand people that think that they have to write a comment on something to cause an argument that they're having with themselves at this point, because you're like,
you've been done. You've already put all the work into it.
Exactly. Yeah. For something that could have been for free.
Well, I always wonder too, do these guys like look at the stuff and think that there's not like a real person behind it? And they just think that it's okay to, you know, trash talk however they want because it makes them feel good.
Possibly.
I always wonder that.
They just feel. No, you know what it is? What? He knows more than you do.
That's what he thinks.
I'm telling you, that's in their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, I have a better way of doing it. Or, you know, the way we do it now works better.
Yeah, we've always done this.
Yes,
that's like that. I hate it when people say that.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate that too.
You had all the arguments.
Yeah.
You knew this is coming.
I knew it was going to come, and I still have a hard time, you know.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, you know,
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, we are all standing behind you. And I know, like, masterminds, like, we have two men in our group. Mm-hmm. And they loved it.
Right.
Yep. Both photographers. It worked for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think you need to take
his. It's well validated.
It's very validated. And take this guy's comment and take it with a grain of salt, literally. But you need to burn it tonight. And you need to not think about it anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mama Rachel.
Now, have you, Julie, had a piece that has caused a big...
Not that I can think of.
I was thinking your rooted picture. And then the one with...
Yeah, a lot of people don't
understand.
I think that one's cool.
And the mermaid one that went into a competition and we argued about it.
Oh, that was...
We were arguing with ourselves.
Because we couldn't talk to the judge. But the rooted one is one of my favorite images I ever created, where the girl's coming out of the stump. Mm-hmm. And that entire series was about finding the light and leaving the negativity, the darkness.
But all of those pieces were dark.
They were all dark they were all dark in regards to the story or the thought behind them, because they had a story behind them. But there was always a smidgen of light. And that was the whole purpose to them, is to find that light. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, that particular image, and I think it's because of the tree roots, people thought was a lot of people liked it, but there were some comments of people saying that it was creepy or
demonic or witchcrafty,
horror movie-ish.
She
was trapped.
And she was rising out of the stump.
Yeah.
Because everything had burned around her. And she was the light that was kind of going into the light that was in the sky, because the sky was pinks and blues and purples. And
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's probably, you're probably right. That's probably the most discussed piece that I ever had up. And
I'm going to post it again, because it was a very powerful piece. I think that's the problem, is when you make a powerful statement, that power leads to arguments.
Right. It does.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that too. And I think that's what that was, is it was so questionable. Okay. So a third of that image is roots and burnt stuff. And so I think there's a lot of controversy around the discussion around that piece, from the standpoint, well, how is this showing light? And it's very obvious that she's coming out of the stump, but maybe she's part of the stump. Mm-hmm. Is some of the things I've had come back to me as well. So, you know, I think powerful pieces that can talk to you, that can open discussions of what people don't want to see. Like, I mean, we've had a couple people that we've been associated with that were going through dark times and just could never see the positive in anything. It was, I don't want to say woe's me, because their problems weren't small, but this is happening to me. Now this is happening to me. Now this is happening to me. And they could never just see that little smidgen of light. It's kind of like our episode when we talked about negativity and finding the positive. Mm-hmm. You know, even in those darkest of darkest moments, there is something to be grateful for. There is something that's light, and there is something out there that can get you to the other side of that darkness. And that's what that piece really reflected. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best piece out of that series to reflect that.
I think so too.
And I think that is what makes it hard for people to see, is all they want to see is that negativity. So they don't want to see that, oh, she's onto something, or he's onto something with that power. It's like your middle finger piece. Mm-hmm. You were onto something with that piece. Mm-hmm. You had something to say. And I think those are sometimes the hardest ones to get any positive feedback on.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah. I think the stronger the voice, or the stronger the piece, the stronger the emotion and things you're going to get from it. So good grief. All really good questions, guys. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Keep them coming.
Yes. I love this. This is fun.
So hopefully you guys might be in our next episode of our Q&As. So stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.